Okay, we will continue. We're in Paragimel Chelik Beis, and we're in the middle of Eis Dalid. Actually, towards the end, we have just done the. There's a pasuk there towards the end from Tehillim. That Behumasha Haya Dabin Mispal Al Titan Hashem Avaya Rasha Zamamay Al Tafek. So the Ramchal has been telling us, at least in this last paragraph, that according to a person's actions, if he passes a test, the Rabban Hashem will give him more Siyata Dishmaya in the next test. Or sometimes, Chas V'Shalom, the other way around, if a person doesn't follow what he's supposed to be doing, so then the Ribbono Shel Olam will also, Mida K'neged Mida, start putting Hefsedim, Tzarais in front of him, where it's going to be harder for him with all his tirdus and all the things that are stopping him from coming to Shlemus. And at the end of where we left off last week, he said sometimes a Rasha, he could get Hatzlacha in this world in order that he should get all his schar, and then La'olam Haba, he should be totally lost and destroyed. And then he also said that it's possible that sometimes a Rasha will have tzaris to stop him from doing all the rishas he wanted to do. The Rabban Hashem has decided that it's too much for whatever reason, so then the Rabban Hashem could stop him, and we'll see a little bit about that a little bit later in this parak. So, right after the pasuk in Tehillim, it says Va'amnam. Va'amnam, hinehu yisparach shemai, oise koha yanim ha'ele v'chachma sehanifla. The Rabban Hashem does this, all of these things with his chachma, hakol kefi masheroi l'tayvat klavri yosef, everything, the way it is fitting for the good, the taiva of his briyas, and the Rabban Hashem judges all of his creations according to their situation, what they actually are. Pirush. You can't compare someone who his situation is Revach. Everything's going very well for him, everything's easy. And instead of being mischazek in his avodas Hashem, he's misrasho me'avodasai. He's weakened. He's lax. Umishu v'matzav hadoichek v'nitra v'lachatzoi v'layashlem eschukai. You can have another person who also doesn't do what he's supposed to be doing. He also doesn't do his avodas Hashem, but his situation is a different situation. He's bedoichek. He's nitra. He's busy. He has a lot of things stopping him. So if he doesn't do, again, it's not an answer, because the person's job is to overcome his nisyonos. But when Hashem will judge the person, you can't compare the judgment that will be for the person who's lax when everything is going well, compared to the person who didn't do his avoda when things were harder. Their din will not be the same. Again, we're not saying this is an answer, but we're just saying that the Rabban Hashem will judge a person according to his matzer. Is he an honest, forced to do something? Is he doing it willingly? And obviously Hashem knows everything. He knows what's really, truly behind every person's actions, what their motives were, or what the lack of their action, what the cause of that was, and he dons them lamita. So now we're up to Eishei. Vula. Min ha-sheirish hazeh yeti oid anafecha. From this sheirish is another branch, b'inyan ha-yisurim, that is the inyan of yisurim. Ki oid efshar shiye adam tzadik. It's possible to have someone who's a tzadik, u'v'yad echatoim, and he has averis that he did. Oid beinani b'shaka b'maisa. Or a person can be a beinani, and he's equal in his actions. So the gezeira then comes that this person needs to be woken up to do tshuva. How do we wake him up? Yifash Pesh B'Matzav. The Rebbeinu Shalom gives him Yisurim Min HaShamayim in order that he should start thinking, start checking out and examining his action to see why is this happening. Now these type of Yisurim are not the same Yisurim that we talked about earlier, which was the Yisurim that are Kapara. That if a person needs a Kapara in Olam Hazeh, or even in the Olam HaNeshamos, Gehenim, these type of things, Yisurim come as a Kapara for their Chatayim. That's not what we're talking about here. Those Yisurim that we talked about earlier, the purpose of those was to purify a person from his Averis, to erase them, to get rid of them. But these Yisurim are a different type of Yisurim. They're Yisure Ha'ara. Ha'ara means they wake you up. A person should think to himself, what's going on? Let me think. Obviously things aren't right. So let me see, what could I do better? Starts off, his tshuva starts off belayv. Start off, wake up his belayv l'tshuva. Ki ulam le'nivru ha'anshem ela beheder ha'tshuva. Punishments were created without, if there's a lack of tshuva. There's no, if a person didn't do tshuva, so then he needs to be punished. Obviously, the Rebbeinu Shalom would rather if someone didn't sin. Vim yachta, but if he does, yashuv. So then the Rebbeinu Shalom says, okay, so do tshuva. Vim loisha, but let's say he doesn't do tshuva. So the Rebbeinu Shalom needs to give him a little bit of a nudge, and it's here, you know, time to get moving. Kidei shelo yayvad, yitzaret banchim. So if he doesn't do tshuva, so there's a couple things that can happen. Either we could say, okay, he has so many averes, so the Rebbeinu Shalom says, that's the end of him. He does not worthy to come to Olam Haba. But if he's not at that madrega, as we mentioned the whole, in the beginning of this, earlier in the Sefer, so the Rebbeinu Shalom gives punishment, and the punishments get rid of the Ra, in order that he can get tzchar for the tzchar. So, the Rebbeinu Shalom says there are two choices. Either do tshuva, and you don't need the punishment, or if you don't do tshuva, you need the punishment. I'd rather if you did tshuva. So let me try to wake you up a little bit. If you wake up and you do tshuva, you could save yourself a lot of problems. So first, the Yisurim Kam Lahara, to wake the person up. If a person is not woken up with them, then the real Yisurim, those Yisurim that are the punishment, those kick in. The Rebbeinu Shalom opened up their ears to Musar, do tshuva from your Avera. So there's this concept, and Rabbeinu Yonah talks about this in Shari Tshuva, that there's two types of Yisurim. He talks about that a person should really try to do tshuva without any siba that's trying to awaken him up, awaken him to do it. A person should do tshuva every day. But then, if a person doesn't, if a person has the time that he has dot averes, so then the Rebbeinu Shalom is still hoping he'll do tshuva. If he doesn't, the Rebbeinu Shalom wants to help him wake up to do tshuva before he brings him to the punishment. So he brings him these yisurim. He brings him these yisurim, and these yisurim try to wake him up. If they don't work, then the Rebbeinu Shalom has nothing left to do but give him the Yisurim, Chas V'Shalom, that really are the Yisuri HaMeiruk, those that purify him. And it seems here, from the way the Rav Chal is saying it, that if he doesn't use those Yisurim as a wake-up call, it's not as if he gets any kapara for them at all. In other words, you might have said, Yisurim are a wake-up call. Now, if I do tshuva, so wonderful, they worked. If I don't, lamaisa, I suffered, so at least let it count towards my averas, I should get a little bit of a kapara. He doesn't say that. He says, if you don't do tshuva, so then, if you don't wake up, I'm sorry, I've been laser, so then you get the other type, and these, tough luck, you ended up losing out. You suffered, and there was no purpose really for them, because you didn't heed the call of the suffering. Then the Rebbeinu Shalom kicks in the other suffering, those Yisuri HaMeiruk, that purify a person. So that's the idea, that the Rebbeinu Shalom sends messages to people. And the messages are, sometimes wake up, take a good look at what you're doing. I just read, there being maspid, Reb Meir Weinberg, all over the papers or whatever. And I just read today that once a person came over to him and told him that he doesn't need to learn about God. Him and God, they're real tight together. They're like very close with each other. So really, why? How do you know he's so close with God? He says, well, very simple. I was once riding a bike up a mountain, and it was a curve, and there was this big truck barreling down, and there was nowhere to go. Either I went into the truck, or I went off the cliff. So, instinctively, I just turned off the cliff. And I landed right between two rocks, and it caught me, and I didn't get a scratch. That's it. I don't need to know anything about Hashem. That's it. He was with me. And I turned and looked at him and said, and who do you think pushed you off the cliff? So he said, what? Yeah, the Banjo's pushing you off to wake you up. The guy was just dumbfounded and followed him straight into the Beis Medrash. And that was, they lived happily ever after. But that's the idea. The Rebbe Hashem sends wake up call. Person, Yisurim, Chazal say Yisurim could be anything. Person sticks his hand into his pocket and picks out the wrong coin that he needs to stick it in again. That's the Madrega of Yisurim. There's Madregas of Yisurim. The Rebbe Hashem is sometimes telling a person, why is it not coming so easy? It's not always because that's part of your kapara. Sometimes it's a wake-up call before that. The Rebbe Hashem was saying, I'm giving you a little bit of the, you know, the alarm clock that starts ringing quiet, that gets louder, gets louder, gets louder, louder. Hopefully, there comes a point, the Rebbe Hashem says, I'm blowing, if it's not waking anyone up, so we have to get down to business. That's the idea. The Rebbe Hashem sends wake-up calls, and a person has to heed the call, take it to heart a little bit, and see what could they do better in their life. Well, how could they do tshuva on something? Do something a little better. Try to get closer to the Rebbe Hashem. So that's an inyan here of Yisurim, but not the Yisurim we're talking about before. Yisurim, a different type of Yisurim. The Tarek Shateida. Now you have to know, he says, Shegvul nitan la marshiya ad mosay anikush ya marshiya v'ayelach v'chirat e'hara. And this is what we were meramis to before. And that is, that there's a gvul. There's a gvul that's given to someone, a boundary, to someone who does rishus, who does bad things. How long is the Rebbeinu Shem just going to let him do what he wants? There's a gvul. It's not endless. The Rebbeinu Shem says, when you get to a certain point, that's it, your bechir is over. It's done. The story's over. You've gone as far as you've gone. And Reb Chaim Friedlander explains it, that since the Rebbeinu Shem has a purpose to this world, he has a purpose of where he wants it to go. Although he gave everyone bechira, however, the bechira is not endless. A person cannot just take the whole world, or mankind cannot take the world into oblivion. It doesn't work that way. The Rebbe Hashem, again, didn't create the world just to see how everyone's going to go, or watch everyone swim around. He watched the fish. Some of them win, some of them lose. Some of them get the food, some of them don't. May be entertaining, may not be entertaining. That's nothing to do. The Rebbe Hashem didn't create the world for that. He didn't create the world just to watch everyone swim around and see who's going to do the right thing, who's going to do the wrong thing. And if we get enough people, or even one person who does enough rishus and destroys enough things, well, listen, that's part of it. You know, I created it. The Rebbe Hashem doesn't do that. Kayach Hara has a gvul to it. And even though you may say to yourself that there's bechira, okay. You chose. There's a concept we saw before. We saw last week. Tare lots is bechira. There's a concept that Rebbe Hashem says, and the truth is, this goes both ways, because there's a Mashiach Chachma that says that a tzaddik can lose his bechira too. If he's boicher so many times, Moshe Rabbeinu was boicher so many times, b'toyv, he passed every test. Bechira is a test. You can choose toyv and you choose ra. So if you pass every test, so it's a given that the choice is always going to be good. Now, it doesn't mean Moshe Rabbeinu did do chataim. Malachim also do chataim, whatever that means. But they'll never go all the way to the side of Ra. There's a concept. That's a concept. Moshe Rabbeinu reached that. Maybe Yeshua reached that. Moshe Rabbeinu seems to say that too. But most tzaddikim don't read. But there's at least such a concept. I find other tzaddikim, the Meshamish, Kangal, the Meshamish, 80 years, he became a tzaddiki at the end. There is a possibility, but there is a possibility of really winning the game, winning the war. The other way around, the person can go so far in his rishus that the Rebbeinu Shem says, so it's a lost cause. The game is over. I could do tshuva, yeah, could be you could do tshuva, but you didn't do it yet, and you've lost. And the Rebbeinu Shem said it's over. And you find this idea also, you find this idea that the Ribbono Shel Olam has a purpose to the world. And when he has a purpose to the world, he's not just going to let it go wherever you decide. Now, it would seem that that's a steer to Bechira. Fine, the Gaon talks about this in Megillas Esther. Remember years ago, someone once called me, one of the girls once called me, with their teaching Megillas Esther, and it sounds like from the Vilna Gaon that their Ribbono Shel Olam was playing around with Achashverosh, and he was making him do certain things with Vashti and things like that. So the easiest way out, you say, Leiv Melech Be'ad Hashem, and Melech doesn't have Bechira anyways. But truthfully, the story is like this. Every free choice, any choice we make in anything, is all dependent on the information that we have. How much could we see? Right? A lot of times you make a choice, then you get more information later, and all of a sudden you say, well, if I would have known that, so I would never have made this choice. Right? Was it a stira to bechira that I didn't have every piece of information? No. The Ribbono Shel Olam put the bechira, two choices in front of you. From the two choices, you made the choice you wanted to make. So sometimes when the Ribbono Shel Olam sees that the world or person is going totally in the wrong direction, and if he's going to let him go that way, the whole Tachlis HaBriyah is going to go in a wrong way. The Ribbono Shel Olam has an Eitz HaPerm he wants to bring about. Achashverosh is not going to follow the rules, so it's not going to happen. If he's not going to follow the script, it's not going to... What do you mean? There's Bechira. You're right. The Ribbono Shel Olam says you're going to have two choices, but your view of what your choices or the ramifications of your choices are can be very limited. I'm going to kill Vashti. I'm going to kill Vashti. Okay, but what's going to happen to kill Vashti? All of a sudden, the Malachat, the Shvereshchat, because Vashti is depressed, he's this, he's that, right? And they have to go find. And that starts the whole story. If Achashverosh would have realized that, B'shas Ma'ase, he wouldn't have chosen. He had a choice to kill Vashti or not kill Vashti. He chose to kill Vashti. But the way the Ribbono Shel Olam, when we say the Ribbono Shel Olam manipulated him, it doesn't mean he made him do it, but the choices he set in front of him, he didn't have, so to speak, such a great grand view of what was going on. It's as if, like the Masha I said last week, if we're in one of those corn mazes, and if you're on top, and you see where everyone's supposed to, which direction they're supposed to be going, if you see someone is going back towards the entrance, so you just turn them around. Did you tell them where they have to go? No, they still choose this way or that way. They'll still get stuck. But at least they're going in the right direction. When the Bereshit sees things are going totally in the wrong direction, he gives a little maneuver. He gives you your Bechira. But the Bechira is now, both Tzadim are going to get you in the right direction, at least where the Ribbono Shel Olam wants the world to go. It's still with Bechira. You still have Tayvin Ra. It's a Tayvin Ra that has been decided on the choices the Ribbono Shel Olam gave you. So the same thing is over here, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is not letting a Rasha do whatever he wants. So comes a point, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I've given you enough choices, and you've showed me it's not happening, so finish. Story's over. I'm not waiting around. We find that the Lashon Mili Hasa, the measure has been filled. Means Ribbono Shel Olam has a measure of how long he's waiting. Right? If you fill it up, that's it. You filled it up and it's over. Right? Saim or whatever these places, they were Mili Hasa, the Rashi says over there. Time was up for them. But it says lights bought Sayara. Sayara, she says over there, was built 2 years after Stein, so they hadn't reached the top of the saw yet. They haven't reached the top of the measure. So you see, there's this idea when it comes to rishus, there's only so far the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to allow it to happen. Why? Because if he allows it an endless measure, there's no measure. If it's endless, there's no measure. If he allows it endless, then the world just goes, it's going to start going to oblivion, and that's not where the Ribbono Shel Olam is doing it. Ribbono Shel Olam needs to get the world through mankind, through their Bechira, litikuna. If we're going totally in the wrong direction, sometimes it just has to give a little bit of a push, and it's all through Bechira, and we have our choices. We could go the direct route, we could go the route where we make stops, where we get stuck, that's all part of Bechira. But at least we're following somewhere towards the right direction. If we try to take the world back to its beginning, back to Tayyub Avayah, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, listen, I'm not allowing that, so either you're out of the game, or I gave you time to try to get back in, I gave you pushes to try to, it didn't happen, so Ribbono Shel Olam says, you're out, we start over. The Lashon and Iyav is that when the Sifkai, it means when the measure is filled, Yetzalai, so they become crushed. So that's the idea, when they do a certain amount of rishos, it's over. Now, it seems funny that if he's such a big Rasha, he's riding so high on such Hatzlacha, and all of a sudden, in a moment, he's destroyed. But the answer is very simple. Because we're letting him be Matzliach, Shulishtayach Le Pesach Ha'avadim. He gets his Schar B'Olam Hazeh if he has Hatzlacha in this world, in order to bring him to destruction. And yes, when he finally does all that Rishus, So then the Rabbi Nisham says it's over. Luma Shakas Vazal, Habalit Tame Paiskumai. Someone who's coming to be Matame is coming to do Ra, to do Rishas. Paiskumai. We allow him to do it. And that's what it means. We give him the Hatzlacha. He has Hatzlacha. And finish. That's Paiskumai. But once he reaches the limit, that's it, he's done. The Rabbi Nisham then will get so angry and he'll have such a destruction, he'll be totally destroyed. So that's the idea of the Rasha, that we only give him a certain gvul. Now another thing we have to know in the Inyan of Ashkacha, all these are amongst the Inyanim of Ashkacha. Sheni Ashkacha Yaina B'chol Prat Me'apratim. When the Rebbeinu Shalom has Ashkacha on every single detail, Mashkacha Sakala Nikshavoy. Ashkacha is dependent on the person not living in a vacuum, because he doesn't live in a vacuum. His Ashkacha is Kala Nikshavoy. Is on everything that's surrounded, everything tied to the person. Mina Kaidmin, things that came before him, parents, ancestors, Mina Mukharim, children, grandchildren, descendants. V'soif davar mashkachas b'ashkachas kol prat al kol kulay. That in every prat, so when we say the Rebbeinu Shalom as ashkacha, in every single person, every detail, it's not just in every detail has in it to the whole klal also, because the person is tied to the whole klal. Mitzad kol mashem esyachsin kol achalokim im kol chelek l'vinyonish shel klal. Every chelek, every part, is not a part, an independent part, it's a part of the big binyonish of the klal. So if we want to talk about man, when we look at the din of a person, so his madrega and his matzav, his situation, and it could be even his madrega and ruchnius, could depend on what came before him, dainu ha'abes, his parents, and it could depend on what comes after him, his children. We find there's an idea that, number one, beruchnius, a person comes, if you have a person who's born to parents who are Yivdei Hashem, or parents who are Tamid HaKamim, or whatever the madrega of the parents are, so then the child is born into that environment, he starts off ahead of the game than someone who wasn't born to the same madrega of parents. They all could be Shamri Tayra Mitzvahs, but there's madregas in that. And if the person's situation is, when I'm born into the world, it's not me in a vacuum, and the Rosh Hashanah says, okay, now go do your Bechira. Part of understanding all the nisyanis and all the situations and everything that a person, his whole life in Bechira is dependent on, starts off with where he starts from. Who is he? So he's born into a family. Some start farther along. So obviously the tvi on them is more. The nisyanis are different because they have certain inborn or automatic traits or automatic midas because this is where who their parents were. And the same thing is about Mashiach Zachulai. Sometimes a person's situation is defined by who his children are going to be. Chazal tell us that Rabbi Nisham told Moshe Rabbeinu, Atal Tzeres Mayev, right? Amon Amay, we now had a fight with. Why? Why was the whole nation saved? Because Ruth Amayavia and Namu Amayinus are going to come out. The generations later they were saved. That means the situation of the ancestors of Amnu Mayav, what happened to them? It was dependent on who their descendants are going to be. So it's not only Amnu Mayav, it could be anyone like that. Anyone. Who knows why I am in this situation? Maybe it's not my schus, maybe it's not because of me, it's because later down the line there's someone who needs that, someone who's going to be zaycha to that. Find the idea also, the Gemara talks about a lot of time, by first of all, by if you find an Aveda, a lost article of Ama Oretz, someone who's not really doesn't believe in Hashem or doesn't do the mitzvahs. So you say, why should I go give him back his thing? I should go give him back, the guy's a Rasha, I should go give him back his Aveda? Let him lose his Aveda. So they'll say, no. Maybe he's a Rasha, but his son might be a Tzaddik, and when, if you give it back to him, his son will be Irish, and he deserves it. Or Chazal also talk about, a person shouldn't change Nachla. There's a Nachla, the Torah says, the Bechar gets this, and who gets this and that. So one of the Amirayim told the other one, Shmuel told the Yehuda, don't start switching around Nachla. Why? And even if you say, I'll take it from a son who's a Rasha and give it to a son who's a Tzaddik, how do you know? The Tzaddik may produce a Rasha, the Rasha might produce a Tzaddik, and you messed everything up. See, you never know. Sometimes a person gets something. Why? Because if a Rasha might have a lot of atzlacha and money, he might have a lot of money. Why? Not because he's supposed to get it. Because his son is going to be a tzaddik, or his grandson is going to be a tzaddik, and they're going to deserve it. So a person's situation in this world could depend on his forefathers, if he's chosavis, or it could be dependent on which situation of what type of parents he's born into, and it could depend on his children, and his descendants. And then there's Umasha Imai. What about the people who are with him? The Ainu B'nei Hadar. Every dar, every generation has its own Nisyainus. Every dar, I think Reb Leib Gurvitz used to say that it said Moshe Rabbeinu's Chatzaitzeris, he was the only one who used those Chatzaitzeris. They were hidden away. Moshe Rabbeinu hid them away the last day of his life. They weren't used by Yeshua. So he said, Al-Derech Drush, Chatzaitzeris is the way that a Gadol gets out his message to the world. The Chatzaitzeris for the dar of Moshe can't be used by Yeshua. It's a different dar, needs different Chatzaitzeris. A different Gadol with a different message. Every dar has its Nisyainus. So a person's situation is not only him, it depends on the dar he was born into. Like we say that Chazal tell us that the Rabbanu Shalom showed Adam Arishain, dar v'dar shav, dar v'chachamav, he showed him every dar, who their darshanim are going to be, who their chachamim are going to be, who their manhigim are going to be, he showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu also. What was he showing them? He was showing them that each dar has its leaders who are matim, are perfect for that dar. You can't take a leader from a different dar and put him into this dar. Each generation has its leaders with its nishayin. It's exactly the way it's supposed to be. And you can't switch. And the same idea is, this dar is not going to be judged the same as the other dar, because the nishayinus and everything about each dar is different. So a person's situation is because he's in this dar. If I'd be in a different dar, it'd be a different story. B'nei Ha'ir. Dar is very widespread. Get a little closer. B'nei Ha'ir. People of the city. Chazal tell us, if a person has the ability to be Moicha, to protest against things going on in his city, and he doesn't, so even though he didn't do the Aveira, he's also Chayav for it. Because the person is judged according to his city. Find also, we find this desire tells us by the Shunamis with Elisha. So the Zayar says that it was Rosh Hashanah when he came, and So this is the other way around. Sometimes here we're saying that a person is judged the course. Sometimes when a person is part of his group or his city, so he gets a different type of judgment also. Now the first case I said, "Kol mishayav shalimchas banchir nitzvah salanchiray." So the pshat is that even though he's different than them, he's going to get their avera. But the shenam is you find she said b'sayitamia nechir sheves that the pshat is that I don't want to be judged alone. I want to be judged amongst the klal. I don't want to be judged by myself. By myself, who knows? Maybe I'll stick out. If I'm judged with the klal, so if the klal will get a good din, so I'll also get a good din. In the first case, he wasn't moicha, so he gets the einish of the klal. And here, a person can get the good depending on the klal. Ibnei hachevra, or it depends who you live around, your neighbors. Right, Chazal say, Ashrei l'tzadik v'ashrei l'shcheinai, Ayla Rasha, Ayla Shcheinai. Just being around people, it makes different nishayinus, different situations for a person, and that's part of his chabura. V'achar kol hashkofes ha'ela. So that means, so when a person's judged, he's judged on depending on everything that's tied to him. And there's so much that's tied to him. There's this dar, there's the dar before, there's later daras, even in this dar, there's his city, there's his chevra. But after Kol Hashkafas Eilin, after the Rebbein Shalom looks at this whole big picture, and he sees who he is, where he is, who his chevra is, now has been decided, what's your job? In this gigantic puzzle that you're right in the middle of, and every piece is somehow connected to you. Might be directly, might be indirectly, but it's all connected somehow. Now what's your chelek in the Avaida? Uvanisayin, shezacharnu l'malo. Now that you're in this situation, born into this family, with these descendants coming, in this dar, in this city, in this chevra, okay, here's your job, here's your nisyanus, this is what's expected of you. V'ulam, now in parentheses, he says, we're saying that a person's job depends, or in his position, all depends where he is in the world. That's only here. His portion in the work. According to the situation, will be his job. But you are who you are. Whatever your actions were, that's what you get. You're not put into a place and say, okay, well, if you're part of the big city, so then it's a different story. You're not dependent. You're totally on your schutzim. Here we're saying, first the person's born into a place, he's born into parents and his descendants, and he's in this city and this chevra. Okay, in this situation, you have all these things going for you, against you, some for, some against. Now, we'll give you tailor-made your avayda for your situation. And I love my boss, different story. Whatever you did here is what you're going to get over there. There's no situations taken into account. There's no places, no parents, no children. You are who you are. The son won't take his father's avera. That means, in I love my boss, I am who I am. I don't suffer from my father. I don't get tired from my father either. In this world, I could get riches from my father, I could riches because of my children. Doesn't happen. I love my boy, you are who you are. So just parentheses, he says, don't make that mistake.
Doesn't it also matter, your actions, it depends on what upbringing you
have. Right, so, but once all that is taken into account, but your job has been given to you because... So once your job is tailor-made for you, now we look at your actions. You can't say, well, I was born into this situation. Yeah, but your job was given to you because you were born into this situation. Did you do it or didn't you do it? That's right. It's a lot of times very easy to get out of and say, well, it's not my fault, all right? These were my friends. This is the situation. This was the school I was in. But you have to remember that that was given, and then your job was given. You're right. If your job was given to you, we gave you and said, listen, your job is to be the Tzadik Hadar. Now we're going to take you and throw you into Stein. Right? Be the that's not how it worked. The Rebbein Shalom had a person in Stein or whoever it was and said, okay, there's so many things working against him. This is what we expect of the person. Now if he doesn't even make that, he can't come out and say, well, it wasn't my fault. You're right. It wasn't your fault. It really was your fault. Because this is your job. That's what he means to say. So it's taken into account, but it's already in the cheshbon of before. Now he's going back to Tayla Mazeh. And he says, if a person is zayche, that it's Hashem decided he's supposed to have gedula or riches, his children also are going to get it. B'schutz him. And if nothing changes that should say that they don't deserve it, yashirim v'vali gedula. So they got a bischus their fathers v'chein lehepach. Nimtza shalai higia aishar hu aysam abonim elam mitzari aysam and aysam avas. Why they get riches? Was there something special about them, their neshama? No, but their neshama was supposed to be born from this father, and this father had riches, so they get it. And there was no reason to change it. V'ulam amita seinyan kachu, that's the truth. Shadam zaychu levanam v'chamisha dvarim shamanu zichayim levracha. Chazal tell us that a father gives over to his child, or parents give over to their child, five things in Olam Hazeh. And that, the Mishnah says, is noi, beauty, the way they look, kayach, oisher, chachma, and shanim also. Chazal say that a person usually lives near the years of how long their parents lived also. So you see, these things, what do they mean, zaycha labana? That means that if I have it, my children are going to have it, assuming nothing really changes.
So
So we're saying that so a person can get a taiva because his father already has it. And it's possible that mitzat zchus of his father, he'll get all different types of taivas. That, not just riches that come straight. Later on it's possible that sometime in life he'll get a taiva bizman min azmanim. Why? Zchus avos. Chazal, Chazal, there's a pasuk in Mishnah, it says, Taiv Yanchil b'nei banim. And the Vilna Gaon says over there, that in Olam Hazeh a person gets peiros for his good deeds. And he says, tzaddikim don't even get to enjoy the peiros of their own deeds. It's their children or their grandchildren get it. It's possible a person could have hatzlacha, and then it's decided that hatzlacha should be taken away from him. Not because of anything he did, but his children that are going to come out from him, they don't deserve it. So therefore it has to be stopped from him. So this goes both ways. The person could be zaycha mitzad his office, and could be zaycha mitzad his children. Why do I have riches? So because my grandchildren are supposed to have riches. The other way around, it's possible that a person could lose a taiva, because either he's not right to get from his father, or because he's not right to give it over to his children. So he stops it. The chayn mitzad mekaymai, oichev rasai, efshe shetipazik alav taivai ra, mitaivai saylam azeva ra'isa. Being that a person's situation is dependent on his place or his chevra, so it's possible he could get taivas, he could get rais, all dependent on not who he is, but where he is in the world. And they say here, interesting thing, that the Ruchayim Pinlevin says, that's the pshat in Mishana Makam, Mishana Mazel. At least one pshat. Mishana Makam, Mishana Mazel. Chazal tell us, you can change your place, you have a new mazel. What's the pshat? He says, being that, every place has its tafkid in Avodas Hashem. And if you're put in this place, with, it's not only the place and the people around it, it's the whole environment, so you fit into the tachlis of place A. When you go to a different place, you're the same person maybe, but now you're in place B. Place B has its tafkid in the world, and its people there are supposed to bring about its tafkid. So your whole avaida, what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants from you, changes. Why? Because you moved. You changed your place. So Mamela, now you're fitting into that. So if a person in the Chas HaShalom didn't have a good mazel over there, it might not have been his problem, personally. It was his place, it was his friends, it was his ear, it was so many things that were going on around him. If he removes that, now of course, if a rush is a rush, wherever he's going to go, he's going to have problems. Mishana Makam, Mishana Mazel. You do true, if you start doing the right thing, you'll have a change in Mazel probably also. What about a person that's not out to Risha? So he's not necessarily out to his own mind. The person never really knows that, but if you see the situation, what Chazal mean is, that if a person is, I don't want to use the word victim of his surroundings and his circumstances, he's not a victim of it, but that's his job, is dependent on where he was put. If he's able to change it, and obviously if he's going there, the Rabbeinu Shalom is allowing it to happen, he could change what his tafkid is in the world. Once he changes it, so now it's a different story. I have different neighbors, I have a different city, it's a whole different place, a whole different place, I have a whole different mazel, my whole situation could change. Okay, we're going to stop here. This actually, the next chelik starts really a new, not a new inyan, but an inyan that is mamshut for a little bit longer. So Be'ezus Hashem, we will continue from Eitz Ches next Wednesday night.